song title again?
Anda de lo lebi ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Checking in the Scarborough Dude, Dixon James podcast from St. Eustache, sitting in the back seat of Anthony's limousine, waiting for fucking Brent. Because,
Brent.
Yeah. Brent. well, from the laughter, you can tell we're all doing all right. A little rough, you know, this morning, to be expected. We set a new record. We had 4 complaints to... the party room, which was Anthony's suite. Good gathering, and of course, the beauty of it all was that Kat came back. In fact, we even talked about somebody, I think it was Anthony, wasn't it, who gave her the name The Kat Came Back?
Yeah,
podcast.
She wanted to start up the podcast.
Because she was the catfish show, and a lot of people there. We realized last night there are layers in the history of this podcasting community. And we had people in last night who hadn't met each other. For example, Candace hadn't met Susan, which was Nicole's wife, nor had I myself. In fact, Susan was first for everybody. And she quite grokked on to, this is a cool group, there's a lot of nice people here. So that was a bonus, having Nicole all the way up from California for this, because he was very, very close with Bob and Kat and Simon. So that was a big part of their going back history. Laurent LaSalle, the scoundrel, the dog, came. And then, of course, I found out that Nico had lived with him for 3 months, which I didn't know. So, again, the texture, the history, the interweaving. But what was needed after the funeral service, which was a good service, an Anglican minister who knew Bob when he was young, used to play ball hockey with him, 3 songs, but one in particular, Bob's former bandmates, did Ahead by the Century. And it was the only thing in the whole service that really, really got to me. I thought it was just beautifully done. And he was singing. He put himself out there, and then just, bam, when that song finished, he just broke down. And that's the guy I wanted to go up and give a hug. Well, here's Brent. So anyway, that's just a very quick recap. It's 11 o'clock. We're heading to Dunn's to get some an early lunch. And then we'll be on our way back home. It's about a five and a half hour journey.
Fucking finally, right?
And yeah, fucking finally. We've already scolded you. So, yeah. Any comments, observations, Anthony, while you're sitting in the car? You need your phone? Service overall, funeral, gathering?
No, not right now. I guess my thoughts are we recording on the way home?
Well, there's a thought too, right?
Yes.
Who knows?
Do we actually get to be special guests on the
You can't be on Sally Talks without Sally. So that's out of
the
it.
Dick does Sally something.
Well,
podcast?
The Dixon James Sally podcast. I don't normally have guests, but it seems. You know, it would be a very gracious thing for me to do, to allow people to come onto the show.
So it's not going to happen, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Anyway, I just wanted to, before we left Saint-Gervais, Saint-Eustache, all these saints, they're very easy to confuse.
Saint-Gervais
and Saint-Gervais and Saint-Eustache both had raceways back in the day, back when my uncle used to take me around to Mossport. So anyway... It was good. There was Bob had an older or younger brother? Older brother, I guess.
I think the brother looks...
Actually, he looked younger.
I don't know if he looks older. But
boy, he sure looked like Bob. He was a stand-in, for sure. So anyway, we're moving, phones are ringing, things are happening. What the hell happened? Somebody's car got jacked?
What?
My car won't start. So what do I answer to that? Just fuck you?
Who is it?
Mark.
Well, where is he?
Well, I think he's... Well, we need more... I'm just going to put, we need more information.
I mean...
Bad person.
He's waiting for the automobile club, maybe.
Yeah, well,
he wants us to come there and pick him up, maybe.
That's it. All right, anyway, you can see it's chaos already, and we're already... late for meeting the others who were at Dunn's. I think we should just go to Dunn's anyway and let Mark sort it out. I don't know what you can do. Or I don't want to be on record of being the asshole who wouldn't help Mark after all he did.
Wow. You don't want to be on record of being an asshole. Let's just throw all away right. 552 hey. Episodes.
Yeah. I'm starting to lose control of this thing. I think we're out. But it was a good party. It was lively. It was fun. It was noisy. A lot of conversations, a lot of groups. And I guess the most wonderful thing, we all had a great, great supper together, thanks to Anthony finding a place and booking it. You know, and they gave us a special meal, you know, a surf and turf type thing. And bringing your own bottles of wine, stopped en route. And I suppose I should get back to Mark's problems. When I try to start my car, it doesn't turn over. Well, Jesus, what do you mean? That's not the kind of information I wanted, right? Okay.
Yeah. Does he want us to pick him up? Or
all right.
Because I can't fix it.
No. It needs a jump suit.
With vehicles involves no. pressing start.
So what do you want? We're hungry, maybe. Any mechanics in the group? No.
He probably left his lights on.
Yeah. I want my car to start. That's what he wants. Yeah, we do too.
But considering it won't.
Yeah.
Would you like a pickup?
Yeah. Bob would be all over this. Yeah, well, Bob's not here.
I mean, if Bob was here, I wouldn't be in St. Eustache.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Sticks
together. All right. Well, he's still texting. Maybe he flooded it. Who knows? I understand that. Okay.
I don't think anybody plugged their engine anymore. I don't know if we can go to the restaurant or pick him up.
Well, that's what we want. All right. Now, do you need... Are you texting him, Anthony?
No.
All right. I'll keep doing it. Yep, do you need...
He thought texting you was his best bet, which
really
hey,
I answered.
How little he knows.
I answered. Wrong, really. Do you need us to get you? I asked. Okay. So, boys, girls, it's not very often you get a news story as it happens, like breaking news on the Dixon James podcast. But this is it. We're all supposed to be at Dunn's enjoying our smoked meat right now, and Mark's got him fucked it all up by flooding his engine again. So. We have no idea what's next. Just stay tuned. I wouldn't switch channels if I were you. Because you might miss.
You just edit this.
We don't edit on the Dixon James podcast, Brent. Thank you.
Clearly. That's why I have to play at 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
Are you still recording?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I want a record of all of this.
Well, how the fuck are you going to talk to Mark if you're recording?
I'm texting him.
He's
texting me. I suppose that nonsense. Would be good. If you haven't ordered, I'd like to say goodbye before you leave. Oh, never mind the goodbyes.
So, does he want us to pick him up?
We can eat then. Yeah.
Like, I don't mind picking him up.
Yes, yes. Where are you? Jesus.
Whew. I thought you guys would be aggravated with me. I'm glad Mark's car.
Well, you're lucky for you. Mark's got to fuck things up.
Now we're
because,
picking up Jesus as well?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I need a ride back, of course. I need a ride to Dunn's and a ride back to the car, but we don't know where he is.
What? Like, give us an address.
Address. A-D-D-R-E-S-S.
Address.
Please. I'll text you the address. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
All right. Don't say exciting things don't happen. Get ready to enter the address. Come on, we're waiting. You should have told us long before this. All right, boys, girls, Dicks and Janes, this is just getting too intense. There's too much going on. I think I'm going to have to put an end to this right now and get back to you later with a bit of a summary. It's just,
really care about your listeners.
God, well, you know.
Crisis happened.
Well, I was just, the thing I was going to talk about was how smoothly everything went last night. Booked the restaurant, we just flowed, we walked from there to the... funeral home, stayed till right to the end, and then people just started dropping in the party room, and including at the very end, Kat, with all the sandwiches that are sitting beside me. All right, dropped pin. I dropped a pin. I don't drop this fucking. All right, here it is. Google Maps. He dropped a pin.
Just tell me the address.
Maybe he doesn't know the address.
Somebody else is going to have to do this. And while walking, it'll take us 58 minutes. No, we're not fucking walking. Jesus Christ. Here.
I can't. He's recording.
No, no, I don't. I don't record on my phone. Here. He dropped a pin somewhere.
He dropped a pin.
Now, why are you taking that out of my hands? I was
so
as good as ever.
Give it.
What the hell are you doing with this thing? We need a fuck. Just give me the fucking address.
He's about to kick both of us out of the car.
Dealing with chimps.
ADRESS.
That last phone call was coming in last night. It was like, oh no.
I don't know. I guess he thinks this is the clever way to do it, and I suppose it is. Like, there's the map. There's the instructions.
I don't want to hear a word from you unless there's an address.
Okay. All right.
Or directions coming in your phone would be helpful.
Well, they are.
I don't know. I can
but they're not.
It in here. That's fine.
Get an address, Ken.
I'm trying.
You sure are.
9 minutes by car. Fuck it. It's giving me three fucking choices. He's way the fuck out of who knows where.
9 minutes. That's like near where.
11 minutes now, depending which way you go. 640, 148, here. 3 minutes slower.
Just what's the address?
I'm trying to get it. Trying to get it.
Head southeast on Rue du Bois toward Rue Charles.
No. All right. Anthony won't move without the address.
Oh, put it on me.
Well, I don't know what else to do. Okay. I'm going to have to do a little backtracking here. I don't know where we left off. I think Mark was crying for help. Car wasn't working and needed people to come and get him. It just descended into chaos. I won't even go there, although it would have been great live podcasting. But we ended up circled around back where we started from and then finally decided, nope. We'll leave Mark to his own devices. Mark can get a mechanic or a CAA. He's right next door to CAD. He can stay there overnight. So we parked Mark, okay? And then we canceled our lunch that we had arranged with Suze Muse and Jennifer at Dunn's. And now we are at a highway stop waiting for Brent again.
In Bainesville.
In Bainesville, just across the border. It's snowing. There is snow on the ground. It is real life snow. And I got to tell you, I'm not driving. And I'm feeling pretty good about it. I love the snow. And it makes me happy to see it. And so all is good. I'm comfortably sitting in the back seat. Now, this whole podcast was going to start with me driving down Anthony Part. His beautiful new... Is it a Dodge Durango? Did we agree on that? Dodge Durango. With all tricked out with all the buttons and things, all the things new cars come with. At my place, we got into the Sally the Road Trek and a little bit of trouble fastening a seatbelt.
No fat guy seatbelts.
No fat guy seatbelts. And apparently I was told I should have bought an extension. That
Ooh,
you, I guess you can
that?
Get these things. I had a couple of people said
oh,
you can get
that.
An extension for them.
Oh, you can, but that's,
you
not
can.
That's not your responsibility.
No.
I wouldn't put that on you. You know that.
Yes. No, you certainly wouldn't, and nor would I go out and get one, you know, because I know a year from now you're going to be a much slimmer man than you are now.
Well, and the only thing that I chided you on is that you certainly don't need to, at this point in my life or at this point in your life, try to be politically correct about the fact that it didn't have fat guy seatbelts.
No. And
I don't think I was.
I think because I knew the story would come out, you know, eventually.
It was like a health and safety issue.
It was a safety issue. I thought it was good because I thought if anybody was worth talking to, they're going to ask me, what do you mean? What kind of safety issue? And then I would explain. But, of course, most people don't bother because they don't really care about the answers anyway. Right?
Do you have a bag back there that you can put this into?
No, but I can just put it on the floor. You know, in the middle of podcasting, and here I am, somebody's asking me to get a bag. Now, it just happens that I did bring a bag.
Oh, you're recording again.
Thinking ahead. So, you see? There you go. There's a bag. We can get back to it. Now we got Brent back. Suppose you'd like the garbage in the back. No, I think the garbage should be at Brent's feet, no? No, I don't like that looking. I don't want to be looking at that. Come on. Got nice black leather seats. Looking at a garbage bag. All right. Now, so we did not come down. Sally, we came down the Dodge Durango, and like I say, it's I'm considering it a blessing. Fortunately, it worked out.
You know what the name of this vehicle is?
No, it doesn't have a name because you don't name
it's
your car.
Dodge Durango.
Yeah.
It's named Durango.
Some people don't do this. All my cars have always had names. However, we're not you know arguing the merits of that.
Oh, I would, but
all right. Well, you would try.
That'd be an entire episode by
try,
itself.
Try, yeah, but.
Are you checking your all right. surroundings?
Well, I'm waiting for this guy to pass me.
All right. So anyway, where were we? Mark's we've left Mark. Mark's still there. John's already home. He left at 6 this morning. Brent's finally made it back to the car. And we're leaving Bainesville. So listen, this is too much commotion going on. I'm going to have to come back to you later on. It's a little more quiet and a person can think.
I just want attention.
No, we're getting back on the road. You've got plenty of quiet. You'll yes. have
plenty
in a second.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I know
my my
like
thoughts other... aren't focused.
Well, I know you don't like other people. Well, this is the nature of having a conversation, Ken. It's not just a monologue. I mean...
No. All right. All right. So what podcast is this, then? I can still be the Dixon James with a three-way conversation. All right. All right. All right. All right.
It should be Dixon James.
All right. I stand corrected. I do sometimes listen to people.
It happens.
Sometimes not. But, all right. What's the conversation about? No, come on. Doesn't work that way.
I mean, the title of your podcast involves at least two people.
I've thought of that a lot, you know. It's pretty, and then, I think this is why my old friends are pissed off. Like, hey, you took the zine. Dixon James is fine because the zine is for everybody. Then you use that title for a podcast and nobody's allowed on it.
I mean... I could see them being upset about that. I'd be mad. Yeah. If you started doing Gappage by yourself, I'd be like, what the hell?
Not only is it... not
a little more episodes.
Yeah, not only is it not Dick... Not only is it Dick and Jane, which would be at least two people, it's Dicks and Janes.
That's right.
Which implies a whole shitload of people.
That's right.
There's so rarely Janes on your show.
I think there are so rarely. The thing is, I think more of the Dicks and Janes is perhaps more the listeners than the person speaking. But...
Oh, you know, well, that's
because
that's
I
clever.
Believe there is
that's
a Dixon
clever
James.
Way out. Yes.
There, well, that's what I've always believed, though. It's a Dixon James tribe. That's why I'm addressing. And anybody can be a Dick, and anybody can be a Jane. And,
well, apparently not. So, apparently no one on your podcast can be.
Well, you know, people do lots of other podcasts, lots of other conversations, and so on. This has always been my therapy. And, yeah, I'm a control freak.
Seems to be working
really
well.
Like to be. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, but I think on occasion to have a guest on the Dixon. I've had guests on my Love Hate Things podcast, and
not very often.
No, not often because.
And I would probably say I love them more when it's just you. I can't remember who you've had on as a guest and so on. But
no, it's been.
I listen to Love Hate Things to hear Anthony. What's going on in Anthony's world this week?
Right,
and I enjoy it for that.
And I never wanted it to be that.
Okay, well.
That was no. Originally, that was never the intent. The intent was never for it to be a life cast.
Okay.
And then once you do over 700 episodes of it, at some point, what else is it going to be?
Yeah. You've already gone through all the things
you've talked about everything that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know eventually you wanted Dixon James to be you sharing music.
Well, that was the start.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But at some point, I mean, to produce 700 or, you know, 550 episodes of just you sharing music... It became more about the talking between the music.
Yeah, well, that happened pretty quickly, so that happened certainly in its first season, I think.
You're just impressed to know that I know the origins, aren't you?
Well,
see,
probably...
I pay respect. I pay my respect.
It's a thing we are all looking for in this community. One way or another, we are all looking for a little bit of respect and acknowledgement. And that's a huge thing. We want to be seen for, all right, I value you for who you are. I don't need to change you.
Whoa! Value, value. Yeah. That's you know.
I'm taking it to another level. I don't know. I think that need to be seen came up in one of the drunken conversations last night.
Did it?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
I can't remember who was talking about it, but about how we're all doing this so that we're not. Or was that Mark's speech?
we do this so that we're not forgotten. Not found.
Are you saying it's digital legacy?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Someone get Adele on the phone.
This is partly why I don't have guests on the show.
Well, certainly not us. We're just...
Well, you've always considered Dixon James to be your digital legacy.
It is. Sadly, not one that I don't think... like, some people do a digital legacy clearly thinking about their children listening to it in the future or other people. And I haven't taken that route.
No, but
I sometimes almost resent that. I don't like it. Like, hey, who is it really for? Is it for us or is it for your children?
No. The point is, if your intention is to be, if you have respect for your children,
yes,
then you want to be honest with them. You
yes
want to let them know how you really were. You don't want to paint this
yes
one-sided picture.
Yes.
I mean, trust me, your kids know your flaws.
Yes.
Probably better than most.
Yes.
And when they listen to it, if it starts to sound like you're a game show host,
this is your life,
you know? It's like, you know, hey, this is me, perfect dad without any flaws, you know? They're not going to buy into it. They're not going to have any interest in it.
I would say a big part of the reason, one of the reasons for me doing it, is because there's so much more I would like to have known about my own dad, and yet he was trapped in the world of his time to play the role of the good dad and you know, being this way, but the real person with his friends who would like to party and drink and play music, play his banjo, laugh, tell jokes. As children, we didn't get to see that very often. We get glimpses of it. People would come over, but it wasn't. There was always a role, and I think he was trapped into it. I think it was the nature of the times. Fathers have had a tough role in history of, okay, this is how you have to be if you want to be a father.
I think there's value in it. I don't get to see much of who my dad was, you know, around his friends and stuff. But when I was a kid, I used to go with him to, he was a runner or whatever, so I'd go with him to races and stuff. And I got to see him hanging out with his friends and his running buddies, and I got to see a side of him I didn't normally get to see. I don't see that side, you know, ever anymore. But I still reflect back on those times and value those experiences, because then that's where you get to see who your parents really are, I guess.
But there's also something to be said about this as a medium in terms of digital legacy, because in the past the medium has largely been photos, slides, and like,
yeah,
I'm not a photo person. I, you know, someone comes back from vacation and says, oh, you want to look at my pictures? It's like, no, I don't. I don't,
yeah,
I mean,
that,
you know, I don't need to see a picture of you standing in front of the Eiffel Tower. I really don't. I can picture you because you're in front of me right now, and I can picture the Eiffel Tower, and I could probably put that together without even being there. And it's not to say that this is the first generation that's had audio as a storage or the ability to store audio. There was always the ability to store audio. My dad used to record, you know, my sister and I on, like, reel-to-reel tapes for a while. I mean,
oh,
I don't know where the hell those ones ended up, to be honest with you, but that would be a pain in the ass to listen to. In this case, you're leaving a legacy that doesn't require even that much effort. The question is, for authenticity's sake, does the long drawn out concept of a podcast series become untenable to a next generation who doesn't want to sift through it? In as much as they may love you and love your memory, do they really want to sit and sift through
you wouldn't expect anybody to do that. What you'd want would be to somebody randomly dig and just out of the blue pick something that's probably got a date and a time.
Right.
And just randomly. Wow,
so like maybe like 20 years from now,
yeah,
you know, your kid says, oh, here's one that my dad recorded on this date 20 years ago. Let's see.
Possibly.
Right. He's something like, at least something that had a tertiary link maybe to them at
yeah
that time.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, none of us do the appropriate job of properly tagging these things.
Right.
Because if that was the case, then you could actually have something searchable. Now, in the future, will Google have the ability to search those MP3s and probably tag them for us?
I mean, maybe. There's been a number of attempts with search engines to do. I don't think any of them exist anymore, but I remember two or three search engines that exist to, you know, search through audio, and you could type in what someone talked about, and it would bring up podcasts where, you know, and where in the podcast that word came up. So I imagine that'll happen eventually.
You probably have to upload them to your Google Drive or something like that.
Well, I imagine, yeah, I don't know. The ones I'm talking about were, you know, other websites, and they would spider all the RSS feeds and then start to build an index of text to, or speech to text of what all those podcasts were about.
Now, isn't there the new, Adobe come out with their new audition software, which apparently you can, if you have enough data, you can construct somebody saying a sentence.
Yep, I heard about that.
So you ready for that, Ken?
I hear that.
We're going to take your archive of Dix and Jane's podcasts, yeah, and we are going to create new Dix and Jane's podcasts,
yep,
in your voice.
Yep. I think there's enough garbage out there already.
We can have you saying anything.
Exactly.
Well, I can't wait. I gotta get that program. I'm gonna piss off everyone.
Yeah, the trouble is it's Adobe. You have to pay a subscription for it.
Yeah. Whatever happened to buying things and then they're yours?
Did your batteries die again?
No.
Turn it off on us?
No. It's recording. I'm just...
This will never make the podcast.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, this part will, but I was going to... I mean, if it's, the thing is, this should be a Bob-themed podcast. Because that is what the weekend was about.
Well, Bob... I mean, their memorial for Bob was the framing device for this entire weekend. Like, we wouldn't be sitting in a car...
Yeah.
If not for what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
And more specifically, the three of us wouldn't be sitting together, period, if it wasn't for Bob.
Yes. We wouldn't know each other.
Him and I knew each other, but didn't become friends till the PodCamp Montreal that Bob started, and I met you through
PodCamp. PodCamp Toronto, I think, more. I mean, that's when I ran into Ken the first time.
Yeah, like, I knew Ken from the PodCamp Toronto scene, and there used to be meetups at the Imperial Pub before PodCamp.
Right.
But he was just the guy that I would smoke a joint with, because no one else did that. But we didn't really talk much.
But I remember it was either the first or second year I came to PodCamp that I did my first session, when it was like the unconference-style thing, and you could just write whatever you wanted to.
Nice.
And I did that session, and Ken was in there, because I cleverly titled it, and I think that enticed him.
I made a point, not having known you from, you know, anyone else there, to come up and congratulate you and say, what a great job. That was really interesting, because I was impressed. I mean, you showed yourself then and there to be a master. You were on your game, your complete confidence, and I knew right away, okay, here's somebody worth paying attention to. And so made it, and that's, I do that, and to my credit, I think, because I made a point when we were at the club, and you were walking around, with your little mafia there, sitting the bald-headed guy?
Who was there?
Yeah.
The bald-headed
guy. One of them, anyway.
Was that the first year?
That was the year you did the talk.
Oh, was it?
And
Andrew was there?
You walked by, yeah, here with Andrew. And you walked by, and again, I flagged you and said, hey, so I did it, that was great. You gave me a little pat in the head.
And Mark was telling me last night that the only reason I got on to, the only reason I got a jolt at PAB that year, which was that first jolt I did, was because of you. Hmm. It was because of you, you lauding my praises. And,
well, glad to hear that. I didn't know. I'd forgotten that part of the history. But
that's what he said. He said, because apparently when I went to PodCamp London that year.
Oh, yeah. I heard that conversation.
Yeah. Doritos was a sponsor, and I guess when that was Mark was working for Fleischmann Hillard or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, remember him, and remember Miranda?
Yep, I remember Miranda.
So I guess they both worked for Fleischmann Hillard, and Doritos gave, like, some free chips to the PodCamp London conference, and I went out in the parking lot between the conference and the after party, and I was just looking for something to record a Love Hate Things about. And so I looked at this package of Doritos, and I just went into an entire rant on packaging. It wasn't necessarily about the Doritos themselves. It was an entire rant on packaging, because it was just, like, ridiculous. And the next day it comes up under one of the Fleischmann Hillard spy flag things online. And Mark didn't even know me. And, but he used to always say that Disc Culture used to always pop up every single week that we used to do episodes because we used to shit on so much stuff. So he just thought I was a pain in the ass. And apparently it was...
Well, he's correct.
Apparently it was you who actually convinced him that I was worth having on...
And there's another layer of the history, right? Disc Culture, a show that's had its time. It was a great show. It was really well done.
When it was clicking,
yeah.
When we had the five of us, and it was really clicking, it was something.
Yeah, you had a great couple of years there.
Yeah.
I almost wore the T-shirt this weekend.
Well, Bob wore it. And speaking of Bob, I mean, he would wear it fairly regularly still. He would haul it out and bring it into Hamilton whenever he could.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the one year at Pab where we all showed up. Because that was the first time we all met each other.
Yeah. And Mark was upset because your friend came and didn't pay, I think.
Well, that was not our friend.
Oh, okay. Who was the connection to? I thought it was through you.
He knew Andrew.
Oh, okay.
But,
yes,
he also knew, like, Miranda and a couple of other people. I think that was who? Simon or something like that? Crashed that night? Yeah, he was. I barely know the guy. I mean, he seems nice enough, but that was an interesting first kind of meetup.
I think it would be neat. I mean, a lot of this stuff, it's like this rock history that we have. We're kind of sorry now. Gee, there's some gaps. And somebody had it, took it to this country, and it's so easy to document this stuff. But there's a lot. Every time there's a gathering of podcasters, we're talking about, oh, that show or that person. Some who faded, some who finished, some have their place in the Canadian podcasting history. It'd be a shame for... Or maybe it doesn't matter, but it strikes me that it does. It's nice to have.
It would be
as we discussed last night, you know, oh yeah, the Pod Dog Show. Oh yeah, that one, right? So-and-so and this person.
It would be great to map out, especially because we were talking about yesterday, the kind of, the little in-house pantheon mythology of...
Yeah, I liked the whole metaphor that came up last night about...
Of podcast characters, how we refer to each other...
Right.
...as almost characters in each other's podcasts.
We're like a comic book universe.
Exactly. And it would be interesting... It'd be interesting to someone to either wiki that or chart that out.
Yeah.
In, like, some kind of, like, family tree, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of, like, all the crossovers, right?
Yeah. I love that idea. And there's got to be somebody out there, some student... would love to do this. Well,
I don't think there would be. I would like to
somebody.
Think I would like to think there would be, but I don't think there is.
Well, the one who tried to do her PhD on the Canadian podcasting history, I mean, she tried and she didn't run and she wrote the paper, but it was rejected.
I think she wrote a proposal for it. Yeah. But yeah,
she did a lot of the research. But yeah, I mean, it would have to be somebody who has a particular interest. Maybe somebody who's already a podcaster and really wants to go back.
But I almost like thinking of it as, because I mean, there's a bit of a danger in what you said about we come back and talk about these shows, and that's not to say we shouldn't remember some of those shows. But I do think we spend precious little time talking about new shows or existing shows.
Right.
Well, that was the purpose, of course, of the Canadian Podcast Buffet.
Right.
You know, and I think that's. That sort of is needing a comeback.
And now
that would be good.
Right, and now CBC has got its podcast show, where every week on the radio they talk about podcasts.
Yeah, except it's the ones that they choose.
And it's the ones that sound like CBC.
Yeah, yeah. That's not the route to go.
But if CBC is talking to their audience, is that not what those people would want to hear?
Well, no, and that's exactly, it's homogenous, right?
Yeah.
It's completely homogenous. It's like... Here's what we think our audience wants to listen to.
Yeah, and the audience that does listen to it, that is what they want. Because CBC tells them.
I mean, I started thinking on the Toronto Podcast Directory idea I had a couple of years ago and shelved it. But it came back in my head the other day when I was thinking back on Bob and the buffet and stuff. And someone should do a, you know, there's so many podcasts now, maybe someone could do a show about a single city, try and focus it on that, because there's so many. I don't know if you could do a Canada podcast buffet without it being 3 hours long every episode. I don't know if I want to go into that effort.
No, well, no, because that's the thing. No. So you drive it that niche, and that's fine. If you have an interest in that niche, then that's great. But like, if you did a show on Toronto podcasting, it would be tough for me to have a long-term interest in that because,
right,
you know, it's
like,
not,
I don't know if I'd be interested.
Exactly.
I go to the meetups and, you know, I'm happy to meet other people in the scene. Like, there's that meetup, what's his name, Chris Genji?
I don't know.
Ken, you've been to that meetup that's happened every couple months.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened in a while, but I went to that, and I went, and there were all these new people that we're all doing podcasts in Toronto
is that,
or the area.
Is that the meetup that you went, like, right after PodCamp that you started happening?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And I didn't know any of those people,
right,
except for, John Leshinsky came and Ken. But other than those two guys, I didn't know anyone there. And I was excited to meet a bunch of new people that were doing. There was a guy that did a radio play that, you know, wrote for, you know, a couple seasons and stuff, and paid actors to.
Yeah,
I think
do
I made a
radio play.
I made a bit of an effort to engage with them, but it wasn't much two way. And
but,
some people,
well,
had,
yeah,
some
there were a lot of entrepreneur.
Yeah,
at the time, right?
Yeah, I didn't get a good feeling. I had no interest in going back.
There were a couple conversations where someone would say something, and I'd be like, "Well, that's bullshit. You should maybe focus on your podcast being good before you get all into, oh, I'm trying to monetize and spread the word."
Well,
and then I got, like, you know, dirty looks, so I was like, all right, I'm done talking to you then.
That's the thing, like, I honestly, once every couple months, I still go searching for personal podcasts.
But do people know that that's what you call them? Like, I wouldn't, you know,
well,
I don't know
what
show was a personal
podcast,
but I don't
know what else to call it.
I called it that.
I don't know what else to call it.
I know, like, an audio journal, I don't know. It's.
I think audio journalist is one of the closest terms for certainly for what I do.
Right, but an Closet Geek Show was sort of a personal podcast.
Sure,
I did it, but I didn't call it that. Like,
when I think of an audio journal, and I guess, I mean, we're hashing around semantics here, but I mean,
right,
audio journal to me is something that would be very specifically, like a very specifically, almost like a, you know, an audio diary kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And that's not to say there aren't elements of that when I do Love Hate Things, but there's other things as well.
That's
right.
Right,
well, that's why
free.
I'm saying it's hard to find those things, because there isn't a...
We don't have the vocabulary yet for podcasting.
Right.
We don't have the artistic vocabulary for podcasting. We've developed the craft vocabulary. We've developed the monetization vocabulary. We've developed the technical vocabulary. We have not developed the artistic vocabulary for podcasting. Or should it be called podcasting?
I still think...
Well, yeah, I guess
we have to stay with
also
that name. I think we're... We just have to accept that.
Yeah, I mean, that name makes no sense, but we kind of
like
gotta go with it.
But podcasting doesn't have to be the medium. Podcasting is the delivery model. I mean, saying podcast is like saying art gallery.
Podcasting is a verb. It's a thing you do. It's a doing. Podcasting is a doing. It's an active. It's a recording conversation, recording talking. And then saving that recording so you can release it.
Sure.
I don't see the problem with the word podcasting, but I agree.
To me, that's a
we need to refine it, and there's other terms to it and other ways of
your
categorizing.
Of podcasting is a conversational podcast, but, you know, there's podcasts out there that are more like radio shows, and they're still podcasts. They're not my style, but...
I agree.
Like saying podcasting to me... should be the equivalent of saying writing. Writing writing is a very generic, amorphous term.
Yeah.
But that's what podcasting's become. It's a very generic, amorphous term. So, I mean, what Serial does ain't what I do, but they're both called podcasting.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't like the term unprofessional. I'm not comfortable with that. Amateur, I don't...
I don't
like that either, all that much.
The only reason I like unprofessional over some of the other ones is amateur is something that... Amateur is a default when you're not professional.
Yeah.
Unprofessional just to me seems like a choice.
Yeah.
Right? I've chosen to not... It's not to say I couldn't do what professional podcasters do. But I've chosen to not do.
But to the outsiders, anybody else who doesn't know the language or the history, they're just going to say, "One professional, well, that's probably not a very good one."
No, I get that. But does that denote anything different than amateur would?
Well, I'm saying I don't like either of those terms. I'm saying I'm agreeing we need to have more terms.
We need better vocabulary,
that we do. But it is...
We need a wiki.
I really do see the parallel.
We need a wiki.
The parallel to this and what my father did, shortwave radio, what Bob did, of reaching out to people and creating community, creating connections, and having those people reach back to you. That's the part about it that I love. Like, to me, the podcast, it would have no meaning if it wasn't for the circle of people involved, the community, the interactions. Yes, I like doing it. It's fun. I've always been a talker. But it is the exchange and the sense that you're playing a game with almost a common set of rules with a lot of other people who are doing the same thing. And that's why I always reference other podcasts on my own and the people. And I think that's a whole other direction to what this thing is. But the medium of podcasting, the personal way of doing it and sharing it, can be very raw and honest and close. You really can connect to and with people doing podcasting.
Yeah, I don't know if it happens much anymore because, well, I don't really do my own personal show anymore. For a while there was these asynchronous friendships like me and Sean Joyner. You know, we didn't talk much back and forth. We didn't email back and forth between each other, but I listened to his show, and he listened to my show. And then when he wanted somewhere to stay for PodCamp Toronto, he stayed at my place. And, you know, that's when we actually got to know each other and hung out and stuff. And, you know, we've done that a couple times since, but it was this weird thing of
personal
interaction in another person's ear, basically, you know? Yeah.
There's no other reason I would have driven to Tennessee to see Jason, except for hearing him on his podcast.
No, for sure.
With him, you know?
For sure, that's it. I mean, that's why. I mean, it's the reason why we see each other two or three times a year, but we feel like we know each other better than family.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I know the people that we saw this weekend, not all of them, but I know many of them. You know, my sister's lived down in Arizona now for 10 years. I talk to her maybe once every couple months. And it's, you know, what do? We talk about our parents. I mean, you know. So, I mean, that's what we do. But I know more about Jason in Nashville than I know about my sister right now and what he's going through.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, that element of... I mean, there's a reason why people sit and watch soap operas every day. There's a reason why people follow stories about characters.
Yeah.
I mean...
You see, that's what I think the newbies or the people outside wanting to get in or find out more, they don't. They have no way of understanding that. And it's very hard for us to explain that because it's an investment. Yeah. You've got to invest time. You've got to care. If you want to join this community, you got to put something into it.
Well, so, and that's...
You got to make an effort.
And that's why I'm thinking that... And Lord knows, I'm not volunteering myself to do it. But I'm thinking, if there was just the barest of... And I keep saying wiki, but it doesn't have to be that. But if there was the barest of something like that, which would, say, each show... Like, give the equivalent of, like, the blurb on each show. Like, a one-stop location where you could get the blurbs on all of these shows. But, however, then be able to... So, like, on this show, on the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour... Anthony Marco, Dave Broadbeck, Bob Goyetch. You could click on either one of Dave's or Bob's names and then find out the other podcasts that you go to their page.
It's all hyperlinked.
It's like tracking the history of bands.
Well, see, we did when we originally had, when the Canadian Podcast Buffet was going, there was the
buffet,
the blog,
the Buffet,
for this whole thing.
The Buffet, I believe.
There was connections to all of this, and you could find the podcast. It was just a bugger keeping it up to date.
Well,
but
of course,
Wiki would have to be an ongoing, you know.
When you and I took over the Buffett for what, 5 episodes?
Yeah, maybe.
You and I were like the Jimmy Buffett of Bob and Mark.
I still haven't fully got that joke.
I haven't either, but I still laugh every time.
Hearing them, And I'm thinking, okay, I'm supposed to understand that in some way. I'm not understanding.
They don't
it.
Like.
So explain it. Explain it.
Do you want to get that joke? Okay, so this is the way it works. So it comes from the fact that neither Bob, Dave, or myself thought much of Jimmy Buffett.
Right.
And so, but he's incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Sells out concert tours around the world. But he always seems to us like an also-ran.
Yeah.
So whenever we want to say that somebody is not quite somebody else.
Yeah.
In other words, like here's the example. So a lot of people love Deep Purple.
Yeah.
Quintessential hard rock band. Not as many people like Uriah Heep, who was a hard rock band who was really, really good.
Yeah.
But people thought they were almost close to... They had some Spinal Tap elements about them. Let's just put it that way. So the parallel would be Uriah Heep was the Jimmy Buffett of Deep Purple.
I get it now, and I like it. Actually, I think that's what I thought.
Yeah,
where you're going.
And so
I was able to play along.
So Brodbeck created the, I believe, is it the Buffett of?
The Buffett of on Twitter. Yes.
The Buffett of on Twitter, and so you could put something like Uriah Heep is or. Oh no, he just has Buffett of, I think.
Yeah.
Is the Jimmy at Buffett of or something like that.
Yep.
Deep Purples.
Alright, we got that sorted out. So there's a lot of humor that goes along with the community.
A lot of inside
baseball.
Oh, complete inside baseball. But that's why, to have that little structure, and to even have, once in a while on our podcasts, you know, once every couple of episodes, just go... You know, if you want to learn more about... It's almost like having the old web rings.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you want to learn more about this community, go here.
We need to hire a podcast editor to compile all of this together.
Well, I mean, you can link it off the Podcast Emporium page if we wanted to, right? You can link it off the Podcast Emporium page. You could say, you know, for the wiki of the Podcast Emporium, go here.
I'm sure there's somebody out there who would actually like to get this done. Finding that person might be a little different.
See, I honestly don't think there is.
I got a government grant for it, you know? I think there's some CBC money here.
I think we would like it for our own egos.
Well, of course.
And so encourage more people to listen and get everything.
But that's a good point, Brent. Because I think it is important. And I think we downplay it. No, we're just having fun. We're just doing it. But I think what we're doing does have value and importance. I think it is a little bit of Canadian history in here. Where, you know, hey, this is what was going on in these days. This is how people are connecting. This is what they're concerned about. There's a wealth of material to mine.
I think...
That anything else, you know, in the old days... People would save old newspapers, old letters from World War One. I think.
I mean, that makes sense. It's fun to read about writers that wrote to other writers and the opinions they had about each other.
But there's something to be said about if you were to get it into a form where it was searchable and cross-referenceable and hyperlinked and all of that stuff.
Yes.
Aside from the actual content and shows themselves, which are important. That's the only way that it becomes real to some people. Because right now, we have, like we said, we have a discoverability issue, right? Like, I mean, Research for Personal podcast. How does anyone find Love Hate Things?
Right.
No one does.
Well, I mean...
You'd find it through Anthony Marco. You'd find Anthony Marco.
Sure, right. So if you listen to one of my other podcasts...
Yeah. Unless I know who Anthony is, or if he's on another show that I listen to, then there's no way for me to find it. I mean...
Like, we're all in this kind of little insular circle.
Closet Geek Show used to be about particular topics, and the personal stuff is sort of interspersed in there.
Yeah.
Because the idea I had was like, well, if someone wants to know about or is interested in, you know, whatever, this video game or this nerdy thing I'm talking about this week, then that's sort of the in for them to, search for that thing on Google, and then my show comes up, and then that's a reason for them to listen.
The other problem is there are so many choices. So even though we were able to flag ourselves, say, here, somebody said, yeah, well, really, I'm looking for one on, how to buy a good surfboard, how to do this. And there are so many choices that we are basically, and I think this is a conversation I had with Susan last night. I forget the term she used. I loved it because she actually studied this. And it was like a self-selecting community, something along that line. that we have become, and that other people are doing in different ways, of different hubs that are holding them together.
Sure.
There's a road trekking community. People actually wanting to meet each other and face-to-face and share stories and trust each other. And it's a human need. It's almost a re-tribing of things. And we, in some ways, we may already be closed off. We are a tribe, a small community of doing these podcasts. And maybe there isn't a whole lot of room for a whole lot more people.
But I think, one by one,
maybe somebody might want to join, but maybe not.
But I think we have inadvertently put up barriers to that right now. And the barriers that we've put up are, we have been doing it now for relatively such a long period that the bar to admission in terms of time and energy is too high.
I don't know about that. Like, I mean, Jason is a newcomer. Both Jasons are newcomers, and they're, bam,
well,
right in there.
No. And that's fair ball, but they kind of jumped on through... I mean, they glommed on through... I mean, whether it was through accident or through... I mean, yeah, they got a link in there, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But I think that there's a certain element to it where... And I'm going to... I'm never going to be vain enough to say that we should create something like this out of an element of historical posterity or anything like that. I don't give a fuck about that. I don't give a shit if the day after I die all of my podcasts disappear. I don't care, really.
Right.
But I do like to think that if there... I'm always of the opinion that there are way better podcasters than any of us sitting out there that just either don't know, aren't inspired... are afraid, think that they have to do it a certain way, and that if they heard a bunch of fuck-ups like us doing it, they might just jump in and do it.
Right. The reason I'm podcasting is my opening comment to Bob, going full circle here, was, thanks for setting the bar low enough that anybody could join.
Yeah.
And Bob took that as a dig, like some smart-ass in Toronto, but also came back with a zinger, start your own, Scarborough dude.
Yeah.
And it did, and that's what it took. So I think people have to step up and want to do it. We don't want to drag people in. We want people to find us. And maybe that's good enough the way it is. I mean, it's interesting that Keith McNally actually plays a peripheral role of connecting people. Terrence in Japan has a connection to some people. And I think that would go back maybe in this Wikipedia thing or however you want to do it. How these little connections get formed, you know, you just be clicking these links. Oh, wow, that's neat.
Is that part of the reason why I listened to the podcast Legends podcast that I brought up last night the podcast Pickle? Is because, you know, the Facebook group where that sort of started out of has a lot of those old friends that I have, and, you know, we have a community here in Canada that I'm, you know, good friends with you guys. But there's also, like, 20 people in the state. Like, I got pulled into podcasting from a bunch of people in the states that were doing this sort of thing. And most of them now aren't podcasting anymore because they went on to go have, you know, real lives. But I listened to this Podcast Legends podcast because I want to hear more about those connections and try and... like, they're also peripherally connected to this tribe. If there was some way I could get them out to MMPR or, you know, a PAB or a PodCamp, I would, but I don't know how I would do that. But I kind of lament not having those people involved in the community. When I had a Raquel on the show, on Anger Core, like a month or two ago, that's part of the reason why I wanted her to be on the show, because she's a big part of that early day community that I was a part of, and she also... you know, was friends with and knew Sean Joyner and stuff, and like there's all these sort of overlapping communities, and they're not captured anywhere, and they're just in our memories, I guess.
Some of them might be circles that are already built and they're quite happy. Like the group who's doing that group of podcasters in the States may not have any interest in linking with this Canadian circle or this other group or that.
What I'm saying is they're already linked.
Well, there are. I mean, you can think of them as portals, maybe, that these the ways we sort of jump through and connect into them and so on. But I don't know. I think there's a danger in thinking in terms of, well, let's just make this thing, this circle, bigger and bigger and bigger.
No, but you get the impetus when you have friends that you want to introduce them to your other friends because you think it'll get
along. There'll always be these things. So there'll always be an individual within our community who's connecting to another community and somebody else. It's like,
well, and there's
spokes
this,
going out here and there. And,
I don't know if it's a tribe yet or just a group of friends, but there's a bunch of the people that I met at PodCamp Toronto this past year, and we've started hanging out more, like Craig and Jen and Stephanie and stuff and Lily. Like, I've been hanging out with those guys more this year, and I'm happy for it because it feels like, oh, I found another one of these tribes that I
but
can now be connected
to. They've been around for a while. They were part of Keith McNally's tribe.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess some of them, but I don't think Stephanie or Jen or any of those people knew those guys, but Stephanie Cook's been involved in social media forever because she has a fairly popular Toronto comics blog and stuff. So, like, all these worlds are connected. And she's connected to Steve Saylor and Mike Dodd's world, which is itself is its own universe. It's all these interconnected universes. Whoa, it's
hyperlinks will go on forever. All right, I think on that note, maybe
we'll
bring this 45-minute section to a close here, and this will be...
We do like
one
talking.
One podcast on its own. Well, I think it was interesting. It was a little bit of the history and so on. I still see it like archaeology, and you're sort of, when you're digging through these layers and finding, you know, I just like the idea of the remembering people like Sean Joyner and Daryl Incognito and others.
I think that, to me, though, that needs to be secondary to the current stuff that's happening. In other words, can you build from the present back to the past to respect it? Sure.
Yeah.
But if you want to build the community, you need to build on shows that are currently happening.
Right.
And get people to buy into those. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think part of the way that you do it, if you were to build this wiki, to be honest with you, is so if I put up a page for myself in some kind of podcast wikia or like whatever one of those three ones are, I would tag all the shows that I do, tag all the people I do them with, and then say, hey, you've been tagged, now go put up your own page.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, and your own shows or whatever.
Like, it wouldn't be like Wikipedia where you can't put up your own shows, but the only way that you would get an invite to contribute to your own page is if somebody linked you off of their page.
Yeah,
right.
That sounds good.
Right? And so, I mean, that might be the way to do it. It doesn't have to be epically long or anything, but you can put whatever you want to on your own page.
Right,
it's not about selling. It's about...
Showing the connections, and actually, that's a good idea, Anthony, because eventually you can, you know, that writing down what your show is or what your shows were and how they connect to other things.
Exactly. So,
wikis you're talking about?
Like on one of those free, wikia.com is one of those sort of free
public
wiki
domain
pages.
Wiki kind of
things. They have all the television
that
universe
like a good
wikis.
Idea.
And then you could turn that into you could automatically turn that into like a web.
Okay.
Diagram that shows all the connections, and then from there, I think would be the next step to figure out to describe those connections. But that's a good first step, I think.
Okay. I'd like to draw this. I'd like to wind this down.
But
with
like reference,
why do you get to choose to draw this?
Yeah,
down?
Well,
the
you can
Dicks
keep talking.
And the James
you keep talking.
Out there
I'm just going to stop recording. But before I do, I want to get the fact that, and it's tied into this. We are planning a gathering in May. I don't May 26th, May 27th, something like that, in Kingston. With the boat crews, and Anthony has said, I agree that, well, we need maybe something more going on at that time. And Anthony, your proposal was...
Okay, so let me preface it by saying, in as much as I love and respect the idea that we're having kind of a PAB reunion, memorial for Bob, all of that stuff, there is a reason why we consider this community so great, but that means that we shouldn't necessarily miss the opportunity to find a way to grow it, even though it's a look back at the past. So if we can find ways over the weekend, not necessarily on the boat cruise itself, which can be just about that if it wants to be, but during other points in the weekend, if people are going to be there, can we find a way to walk into the city of Kingston and say, hey, are there any new young podcasters here? Is there anyone who's interested in doing this stuff? Almost like an impromptu, whether it's a live podcast recording event, whether it's, hey, we're going to be in, do like the equivalent of like the old bar camps. I mean, just like invite a bunch of people, anyone in Kingston who's interested in podcasting, come on out. We're going to be talking. You're going to have a whole bunch of podcasters from all over the country who are going to be coming in here just to talk about podcasting.
Yeah. So you're suggesting if we had a place, like you've arranged on the Marshall McLuhan Roundtables, a bar, a place you can sit in the afternoon, have a beer, be comfortable, and then anybody who wants to get up and podcast in front of the others can do so,
sure.
Or just sit and talk about it. But a sort of a gathering point at some time during that weekend.
I'm not saying it has to be like formal sessions or anything like that.
No.
But a good place to build community. I mean,
yeah. you need a room of some kind, in a bar, someplace, sectioned off, saying, okay, this is where we're going to be gathering at 3 o'clock, and you know,
you wouldn't want to be
Saturday afternoon or something.
Yeah, you'd want a separate room if possible. But
yeah, and that could easily be worked into the weekend, right?
Yeah.
I like the idea of having a gathering, or just a welcoming reception on the Friday night with, you know, cans of beer or whatever.
There's got to be student podcasts out there at Queens or whatever. And
the trouble is I think they're doing the commencement weekend that weekend. So
oh, yeah.
They're a bit tied up. But, I mean, there's got to be, I mean, I don't know how many, but
Tommy has to know of a couple.
Tommy's got to know some podcasters in Kingston. There's got to be
all
some.
Right. Well, the traffic is starting to slow down. The snow is a little heavier. The road conditions are a little less safe than they were. So we're going to end on that note. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Hopefully we'll be back.
I know you want to keep talking, and of course you can keep talking, but it's just not going to be recorded. Any last words?
Hopefully I don't run into the back of this Maserati, because that's a huge insurance claim right there.
You betcha.
I'd like to promote theangercore.com, listen to my podcasts, sign up for my webinars at Plaza Geek Show on the Twitters, and... goodbye.
We actually have an accident up ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You. Yeah. All right, well.
I would promote myself, but dude, you do better promoting me than I've ever done for myself.
I actually do. I do a fair amount. I mean, I see good things about you, and that's because we are very fortunate to have you in here. I mean...
You're all right.
You know, you've done a lot to build the community, and it's good. And I'm just lucky to still have a part. All right. See what this accident is, and we're going... to end it here. Bye for now.
Hang on. You didn't say
Scarborough. That's become actually quite nice. It feels good doing it.
Well, it's yeah.
So this is the Scarborough.
There we go.
Winding down. Ooh, that one went into the ditch, I guess. Asshole. All right. Bye for now.
There's no ambulance. They're fine.